Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's go!
Bingetown, how are we feeling today? It's your boy Dave, and I am joined by the usual anime squad of Alki and Kyle. And after 10 years, we are ecstatic to be discussing the series finale of Attack on Titan. Not even going to bother with the title. It's just the series finale. I imagine we're going to be here a while. It's going to be a very long discussion about the controversial ending. And I want to preface this also by saying that this ending is extremely complicated. So if it seems like me, Alki, Kyle don't understand something, it's probably because we don't. So before we get into it any further, I just want to route everyone over to our podcast channel, Bingetown TV. Check us out on whatever podcast app you're listening to on, Spotify, Apple Pod, you know the works. Follow us also on all of our social medias, Bingetown TV, X, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, yada, yada, yada.
We also X never gets old.
Never does. We also have our Discord fired up, and we'll have a link in the description if you want to join our community. And now getting back to the series finale, I'm just going to say that I have always been on team. This was a great ending. When the manga finished, it was certainly split about 50-50, I would say, on whether people liked it or not. Just getting right into it, Kyle, since you're the rookie, I want to hear your thoughts on the series finale as a whole, and then we'll get Alki's.
I thought like the initial, we'll call it like 80% through, was like going very well. And then like the last 20%-ish is shaky of like there's just some conversations that happen and it's like, okay. And then a line is said and it's like, wait, what? And then we move on a little bit and then like something else happens and I was like, wait, what type of deal?
Are you talking about the Armin's combo with Aaron?
Yeah, that was just like a long conversation that had like a lot of twists and turns in it.
I'm sure there's a lot of like the glowing worm obviously is a huge question mark for you, maybe.
There's a lot of I don't want to say like, I guess like mechanics of things, like how things can happen, what is going on type of deal questions that I had. But to be honest, like on like a pure like emotional level, like I finished and like I was feeling all of the emotions and I was like, okay, like that was not nearly as bad as I was anticipating given like the level of vitriol that I've seen on the internet about it.
Yes.
But I think like once, like I started reading like a really, 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 really long post like trying to explain all the things and like where potential plot holes are and things like that. Feels like if I had time to like step away and like use my brain instead of using my heart, then I'm sure like maybe it'll go down in my head, but I feel fairly satisfied about the ending.
Go ahead, Alki.
When I read it for the first time, I thought it was good. Like I thought Aaron died in a satisfactory way. He died and I felt pissed and happy at the same time. You know, I think that was the whole purpose of the ending and the purpose of the manga. Like his friends, his best friends felt the same way. And I was part of the whole journey. So, I thought the final fight was really cool. I liked how he could summon the past generations of all the Titan powers. I thought that was sick, to be honest, when I first read it. And seeing it come alive on the screen was pretty awesome as well. I liked Aaron's conversation with Armin because it just felt so like real. And like there was just like two dudes, boys, shooting the shit. You know what I mean? And letting it all out there. We got the live animated version of one of the worst manga panels of all time. With the whole hips like saying he never wants her to move on. So that was funny. I think that honestly the cringiness was worse in the manga. Like his like face was in agony and stuff. But I'm happy it's over now. I mean, it's been dragged on. I think that all the movies were really well done. I thought every season was so good. I hate the hiatuses in between. You know, I envy anybody that gets to just rip it through from front to back. Because I think it'll carry the message. It will pack that punch like so much better, you know. And especially me,
that
it's
would
hard.
Be a very interesting experience.
Yeah, like I've known the ending for what, 2-3 years at this point since the manga officially ended. And I've been waiting for it to come out in anime format. I'm glad it's finally here. So let's divulge.
Yeah, just one last comment that I have is when I first read, I remember reading it for the first time and being just like completely confused. I didn't even know what to feel, kind of what it sounds like, Kyle, you're feeling a little bit here. And it was kind of the same thing with Alice in Borderland. When I first watched Alice in Borderland, I was like, I don't know what to feel. But personally, after I let it simmer for a couple days, I've come to appreciate both endings, and I've come to be on the side of team loving the ending. So we'll see if we can get you there with these with this podcast discussion. But we're just gonna start this this discussion. I apologize in advance if this seems a little sloppy. It was just like things were all over the place. So I'm gonna do my best to kind of lead us through the charge and walk us through this in a somewhat organized manner. But obviously, we start the episode with things that with the ending of last episode, so I'm not even going to bother coming that. But we do find out that Zeke's body is also going to be hidden within the Founding Titan in Eren's body, just like Eren is hidden somewhere as well. So they decide that in 1 minute from when they've landed on the Founding Titan, that Armin is going to unleash the Colossal Titan and destroy everything in his path and try and kill Eren. He's disappointed in himself a little bit here for clinging on to the hope still of wanting to save Eren, and everyone at the same time is kind of telling like Armin that this has to be done. Mikasa seems to be the only one throughout the episode who also feels like they
naturally.
Yeah, of course, the three homies from the OG, you know, they all are going to want to talk this out, but we'll find out that is not the case. We just get a series of great action shots here. I mean, the squad is fighting old iterations of the Nine Titans, which
great concept.
It's so cool, right? Like, especially how each design is so unique and individual. Like, you can still kind of tell which Titan is which. Yep. And it's like, oh, like there's the Warhammer, there's the Jaw, there's a, like an old iteration of the Cart Titan. This was just something that I remember reading and just really appreciating because one, it also emphasizes that Eren's ability with the Warhammer Titan and the connection to the paths is just completely broken if he's able to summon legitimately every iteration of these Titans. And we see that there's probably hundreds of them that they have to go up against. And
9 generations, right? Yeah,
hope is quickly fading for the group here. But Kyle, thoughts on these Titans?
Yeah, I just think it's a really fun concept. And like, we know that the Titan powers have been around for a long time, and I never assumed that we would get any like glimpses into the past like this. Although obviously the idea of a timeline and the past and the future gets muddied a little bit, but it's just, I guess I assumed it was Eren. And then I feel like Armin makes a comment that it was Ymir, mm-hmm. or he thinks it was her. So I was another one of those things where like, I'm not sure how it's happening, but my eyeballs are enjoying that it is happening.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Again, I think you worded it perfectly there, that it wasn't Eren's doing that wanted to. Eren's goal was just to move forward with the rumbling. He didn't, like, you know, he wanted, it's spoiler alert, he wanted to be stopped, kind of, it seemed like. And so his only goal was to move forward, whereas Ymir had these thoughts of actually wanting to murder all of humanity. And so she was the one that summoned all these old Titans, which kind of makes sense with her story of being the first creator of all the Titans, you know, the Colossals, the Rumbling, the ones in the walls, everything are just was her creation. Go ahead.
Wait a second. I'm sorry. And I don't mean to start with a question right off the rip, but like I thought the whole thing was Ymir was like in love with, I guess maybe we'll get there, but she needed somebody like Mikasa to end the cycle. That was like her goal. Isn't that what
I feel like that's not a conversation for right now.
We'll get there when we have to.
It feels like, yeah.
Okay.
But Peek takes advantage of this. She notices that, you know, things are for the worse for where she just needs to get in and destroy whatever she can of Eren's nape. She makes a charge at his nape, avoiding all the Titans that she can. She is definitely one of the most nimble Titans that we've seen. So it kind of makes sense that she's able to get there. And so when she does finally get to the nape, she wraps all these charges around Eren's neck, is ready to blow him to kingdom come, when she is viciously pierced by the Warhammer Titan that we actually know. I forget their name already, but it was the same variation that we saw back in the charge on Marley.
Willie Tiber?
Tiber, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Someone? Tiber? Something Tiber?
Wasn't it a Tiber? Woman, it wasn't, yeah, it wasn't Willie Tiber, but I believe it was a Tiber, or if not like his girl or something like that. But
yeah,
I was completely, a lot of this was like a blur for me. So seeing Peek get stabbed here, I was like, holy shit, how does she get out of this?
There's a lot going on. They're flying around with the ODM gear, and they're all, literally, there's every person has like three near misses where there's like a jaw titan like jumping off a rib bone to like snatch them out of the air, and then something happens at the last second and gets them out of there.
Yeah, people are,
looked really good.
People are floating like in and out of consciousness. People are constantly getting saved here. Like we see Levi saving Jean, which I always have to shout out my boy Levi when I can, because he is just the greatest. And then we also get a quick shot again of, I have his name actually written down now. It was Secretary Mueller, who was the guy that was the one over the mic last episode talking to everyone, saying that we need to end this cycle of hatred here. Just gives another great speech here, just saying that we just, even though we only have three cannons at the ready, let's be prepared to use them. We aren't just going to sit here idly by just watching, you know, the Marlins.
My soldiers rage.
Yeah, my soldiers rage. Oh, greatest speech of all time.
Funny, baby.
But it's just so many great action scenes here. Everything, the animation looks so crisp. I mean, there was really not a single complaint for me. Everything was so well drawn and well done. Kudos to the team for putting this together. I'm not going to say it was worth the wait, but
the tension's there, though, for sure.
Yeah.
Because again, it's Attack on Titan. It feels like anyone could die. So like Connie's just like hanging underneath the off the spine, like Gene catches Reiner, like all of that stuff. And I'm, again, like you said, it's a blur. I'm not even sure there's the order of all these events that are happening. But again, it's like, okay, is this like Reiner? He's not going to go out this way, but like, is Gene going to be compromised because of this? Like Connie's just hanging out. Mikasa's frantically trying to do what she can type of deal. So it was like, oh my God, okay, what the hell is going to happen next?
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't the first we've talked about this, but I really enjoyed seeing the whole crew fight together. Armin at some point even refers to all of them as the scouts, like as collectively, which I thought was pretty badass, because they are, you know, and he did it a couple times throughout the episode. I really just love Eren's ability to summon the old Titans. Like, I think that's so fucking cool. I know we kind of got past this point, but I didn't get a chance to comment. Like, the older armored Titans, how they just looked like
yeah, the like one had like a, just a rock on his head.
Yeah, like that was so sweet. And I guess the iterations of the animals, that must be beast Titans, right?
See, it's really funny because
that it's clear in the manga for me.
It's funny because Mikasa actually, which I thought was really relatable, makes a comment a little bit later on saying like, oh, it's in the pig's mouth. And they're like, oh, is it a jaw Titan, car Titan, or beast Titan? And she's like, honestly, I can't tell. And I was the same way. Some of the jaw Titan and cart Titan iterations were identical. It was so hard for me to tell. And especially when they're flashing by you in a quick moment, it's hard to just focus in on like the jaw that might be emphasized for the. So it was just, it's funny that Mikasa was absolutely struggling, because I was looking at him. I'm like, I'm trying to piece together which ones I think are what. And it was hard for me too.
Yeah. And Annie's like, get serious. And it was like, you think Mikasa's not taking this seriously? Like, what kind of comment is that?
I really thought it was like a pleasure to see Annie in the mix of it. It was pretty fun.
Yeah,
she kind of fucked shit up.
Elementary school theory coming true.
What's pretty, that?
A little predictable. He said Falco was going to
that Falco, and then we're going to show up because Falco's Beast Titan was going to have wings.
Mm-hmm.
Worked out. I thought it was good. I mean, the shot of Mikasa with like the wings behind her looked really cool.
I remember reading that shit. I was like, what? Like, how the fuck? And it was cool. I thought the actual design in the anime was a little better. His wing,
the light jaw, like coming down through like the rib cage too, it just looked really, really nice.
And it's just, I mean, of course it's so obvious, but his name is Falco, like Falcon. Something that was just hinted at, you know, a long time ago, and now it's kind of coming back full circle a little bit here. But one scene that I'll also call out in these action shot scenes here that we're getting after, you know, we find out that Ymir is the one controlling the old Titans, but Armin kind of sees Bertolt in a flash really quickly. We see Bertolt's Titan appear and then eats Reiner, I'm pretty sure, right? This is when Bertolt's Colossal Titan eats Reiner and then just yeets his body, but things
Reiner
look bleak.
Gets fucked up, as usual.
But there's a conversation that quickly happens after between Reiner and Jean, and it's a very cheesy conversation about, you know, trying to motivate one another to keep going. But I just thought it's when they're talking to one another and it's Jean like holding Reiner for his life. It's just crazy to think about how far we've come. And it's so cool seeing the ultimate progression, like of all these characters, because not only like just two seasons ago, Jean would have done anything to kill Reiner. And he's the one here trying to push him through all the like Reiner is literally telling him, just drop me, you know, suicidal Reiner classic, you know, he's just like, just drop me, I'll transform, do something. And he's like, you're just gonna get trampled by all the Titans that are down there. Like, why would I do that? And again, a very cheesy conversation, but just I'm thinking back when it's happening, I'm just thinking back of all the fights and conversations that we've had in the past. And it's just so cool seeing how they're boys now.
He was like, do you think we're gonna lose? And he's like, yeah, probably. And he's like, well, might as well just fight till we can't anymore. Which was pretty fucking badass.
It's badass. It's so cool. Yeah. I
scene made me realize that this like final season over all of the parts has made me like really enjoy their characters. They're top five characters for me. I argue, I mean, they might be a couple of my favorite characters.
Reiner and John.
We're going to actually put a pencil in that. We're going to do that at the end. Top five characters. We'll just try and quickly list them off. We won't think too much about it. So just as we're going
off,
just like Reiner, but just as we're going through this, just try and get five names together and we'll see how similar we all are by the end. Quickly here, Levi, I couldn't tell if he loses his leg or if it's just basically incapacitated. It's the same thing.
His knee looks mangled.
Yeah, it's basically, I think it's a point of there's no return for his leg. But who else? But like we said, Falco comes to save them. The irony of the bird, you know, with his name, the symbol of like hope and freedom and across a lot of just books and pop culture references. So it's just the irony of it all. Again, here, Mikasa now is the only one who is wanting to save Eren. I think Armin has come to the point of realization that we need to kill Eren. But Mikasa here on Falco's back is discussing with everyone that she wants to be able to save Eren. And they're like, look, we want to save Eren as well, but everything has gone so poorly that we our only option is to kill him. Like we don't have time to decide of how are we going to save him. We need to just do it. And obviously that hurts Mikasa to the core, but she seems like she's on board with the plan as of right now. And then we get a quick shot of Marlians and Eldians still bickering on the mountainside, which is just like unbelievable. Yeah, it's like, come on, get your shit together. You are literally facing death.
Yeah,
right there in front of you, and you're gonna point guns at one another like, oh, one side just needs medical attention, the other side's like, no, because you're Eldians, we're not gonna do it. It's just stupid, honestly. And who else but Secretary Mueller, whatever his name is, comes in to defuse the situation. In the time, it's kind of a cliffhanger. He fires off some rounds. We don't know if he fires at the crowd or what.
True.
But who else but Secretary Mueller has come to the rescue. Here we go back to the Falco squad, and the team decides that they need to split up. One squad needs to go rescue Armin, while the other squad needs to detonate the charges that are on around their Eren's neck. Reiner taking on the Warhammer Titan, I thought
he's a beast,
dude. Yeah. Reiner's the design of the Armor Titan one is just already so badass. Reiner himself is just. We've seen to be probably the second best fighter behind Annie in the whole series. Well, I guess third, because Eren does whoop him 1-1 in whatever season it is. So regardless, still a top three fighter, and just the way his huge ass armor Titan, the way he can move, you know, still fire off some like great punches and grapple people. It's just so cool to see.
I like how he was using some of the Warhammer weapons too.
Mm.
That was fun. Cause I feel like we don't really get to see him use weapons. I feel like he would be insane if he had. Imagine if he had like a fucking shield and like a sword.
Well, speaking of, I thought it was so cool to see the Warhammer Titans fucking use a bow and arrow. Dude, like that was sick.
them all like just crazy. All on the bones, just looking at Falco, and they're just like, Falco, you're gonna have to dodge some of these arrows, and it's just
watch out for projectiles.
Yeah, it was just like 30 of them just launching at him. I thought it was so badass.
That was awesome. Yeah, I thought that was the coolest part. That's what makes Aaron so like, you want to tier him, you can tier him high. I mean, he's resourceful. Mm-hmm. I mean, and we didn't talk about last episode, the Beast Titan is literally just like lightning, like blue rocks into his hand and then just winging him. So it's like unlimited ammo.
It was like a combination of, you know, the Beast Titan's just, you know, ability to use his arm and throw things, but also the Warhammer Titan's ability to just conjure material. So it was just seeing them fuse together like that is just really cool. But John and Peek are the ones that are moving forward with the detonation around Aaron's nape. And Peek had skyrocketed for me after this scene, man. John and her. Oh, dude, it is so badass. John's just moving forward. Peek's providing the support. Peek just going in and out of Car Titan form and just saying, like, I will do this however many times we need to do this in order to win. I don't.
That's crazy.
That's just one thing I don't remember from the manga. Yeah, it's just I didn't remember that from the manga, and I'm just sitting here like, why is Peek so much more cool than I remember her being?
It's just a shame that she looks whack in the Titan form.
Yeah,
like everyone else just looks way cooler in their Titan form than she does.
Yeah, it's just the face. It's just so weird. It's just so much better when she has like a mask over it to kind of.
Yeah.
No, not look at her long elongated face, but
yeah, well, she's also just like straight skin, like at least some of the other people have like different things going on with them.
They're struggling, and then Reiner is also struggling because he gets the Aes Sedai treatment here. He gets he has like 50 arrows in him. He's completely surrounded. Every like 5 minutes there's just like a faint glimmer of hope. And then, like, people are like looking around to like analyze the situation, and it's just like, oh, there's Reiner with like half his face, and then there's Peek with like missing her legs and shit. It's just like,
God,
everything. It was so crazy to see the progression of how they get out of this. But yeah, this is where Mikasa makes that comment about, oh, there's the pig looking beast cart jaw titan that it's captured like Armin.
It's complication after complication after complication after complication. Like, especially what Aoki's saying, like all the powers. It's like, oh my God, he can do that. Oh my God, he can do that. Oh my God, he can do that. And it was just like, oh my gosh.
I guess the one thing we forgot to talk about at the very beginning is that Armin gets captured by this Beast Titan thing. And it's just kind of gross, though, that it's tongue that captures him, and it's like, and like shoved in his mouth.
So he doesn't bite himself?
Yeah, so he can't bite or hurt himself. Like, it's just, it's gross, but like it had to be done. Had to be done. And so Levi is also reminiscing about Erwin here and how he's never failed one of his orders in the past.
Speaking of, what is the final order that Aaron said?
It was killed the Beast Titan at the charge when he's like, give your, you know, Kyle's the speech when he's like, my soldiers rage. His, they discuss there. He's like, we're going to be a distraction and you're going to kill the Beast Titan. He has never, this is the one mission that's been eluding him now for. For us, it's been years, but for him, I don't even know what time is like for these guys at this point in time. Weeks, maybe.
Yeah,
months.
There's been time skips going on.
Yeah,
very. Damn, true. Dave, you just got chills for that. I'm watching you have the chills right now.
It's all great content, man. Yeah. I love this.
I really like the Levi kind of thoughts here too. When he's just kind of like, maybe I'm too early. So let Dave just talk, and then
no, you're good. It's good because Levi was just kind of that generic character that was just the muscle for Erwin for so long. And we really flesh him out these final seasons here. Like, without Erwin, he's kind of finding out who he really is. And yes, he's always going to be loyal to Erwin to the grave, but he's also figuring out like what he wants to do in these moments. And I think this is just a great, this is also the culmination for me of like my Levi love is, one, he's always been a badass, but two, like, he actually becomes a character, it feels like, by the end, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry, Kyle.
You're good. I'm just curious, is this where he has, like, the, like, maybe this was our role? Like, maybe, like, do you ever think that, like, getting the kids to the sea was, like...
Yes, this is exactly this part.
Okay, yeah. I thought that was very interesting. I'd never anticipated, like, a level of introspection from Levi at that level. So like you're saying, Dave, he's becoming like more of a of like a three-dimensional character.
Actually, I wanted to piggyback on what you're saying is exactly on the wavelength that I'm on. While it was unfortunate as a viewer to see Levi be dismantled to his state, his current state, he led these kids to where they are now, and to he helped develop their abilities, their decision-making skills, and he acted as their, you know, leader for so long. So it's only fitting in a way that they're leading the charge and he's there kind of to support
the muscle. Yeah.
Yeah. Like to support. And I thought it was a nice layer to his character. And yeah, the only time we really showed him, the only time we've ever seen Levi show any serious affection has been for Irvin, right? Yeah. Legend. But in this introspection, you see him prove that he does care about these kids a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nice cool. to get that like kind of decisive, like, I have no regrets about choosing Armin over you. And he compliments Armin too in that way. That was just like, hell yeah. Like,
chills, man.
My soul needed this.
It's so sad. You're absolutely right. He's accepting the consequence of him not saving Erwin. But the thing was, is that Erwin, I guess, lost that sparkle in his eye. You know, when Levi first met him, he had this sparkle in his eye about, oh my God, like, I can't wait to find out what's out there in the world. But what the cruel reality of the world does to people is that they lose hope. And maybe that twinkle in Erwin's eye, you know, with the confrontations with the Beast Titan and everything, and his addictions to wanting to find, you know, Aaron's dad's basement and everything, he kind of lost himself. And I think Levi, you know, saw the twinkle in Armin's eyes, and he was like, this kid, he's a little clueless, but at the same time, he's motivated. Like, this is just the kind of guy that we need to like get behind. This is someone who can understand the situation without like focusing on one thing and just, you know, kind of ruining the plan, I guess.
It's good for the scouts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and for sure. Especially by the end, we'll get there when we get there, but when they're all on the ship and Armin like kind of talks through the entire situation, it's just, he really is a great character. I was never like, for maybe like first three seasons, I was never like totally into Armin, but honestly, once he eats the Colossal Titan, his character just, it grows. He has to grow so much, literally.
I always knew how much potential he had, because in the beginning,
it was there.
He was like a top student or like whatever.
Wise, maybe.
Yeah. Right. And he was smart. I admittedly got irritated with him and with even in these podcasts where we've talked about him. And I even said it last episode about just how Will, he's like harping on trying to save Aaron and all that, but overall he is the man. I mean, he's the leader, you know. He is everything Aaron kind of couldn't be with this group, you know. He's more mature, level-headed, logical, and he led them through this disaster. Literally, you know what I'm saying?
He led them through the end of the war,
the end of
the freaking world.
Yeah, like, and he is,
yeah, it's crazy to think that, like,
he saved everybody too. He saved humanity. He's part of, well, just as much a hand as the rest of them.
I mean, he takes the credit.
Yeah. He says he killed Aaron at the end, which is wild.
But you had something, Kyle?
I was just going to say that it's crazy to think, like, from episode one, if you would have told someone, like, if you were Aaron whispering in someone's ear in episode one, like, look at this little blonde kid, like, he's going to be the leader of the scout regiment when, like, we win the war that saves the world. Like, you would have never, ever believed it.
Yeah.
And also, Alki, to your, like, that criticism of Armin, like, Armin would be the first person to agree. He would probably even bring it up before you.
Right.
And, like, that was, like, a flaw in his character.
But I actually, I think one of Armin's great qualities is how self-aware he is.
Yeah. And even to a fault at times, it's probably a little detrimental, just because it leads to a little bit of,
then it's like
a lack of confidence.
Yeah. And like,
exactly. Like, be a little decisive, you know? I don't know if Levi ever felt that Erwin's fire had like diminished, but
maybe that wasn't that, like, the right way to put it.
No, I think that he just,
his time was up.
Yeah, like he recognized that with all this new information, and because at the you have to remember, at the time that this happened, like, Beast Titan was new. There was all this crazy shit going on and everything was being uncovered. He was just in jail, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, he had just got released from jail, whatever. There was a lot of turmoil. Mm-hmm. Levi recognized in that moment that Erwin has brought us to this point. It is time for somebody else to take us further. And don't forget, it's not like Armin became leader at that point. It was Hanji, you know what I'm saying? So it was just a matter of keeping him alive or not. The selfish decision was obviously Erwin.
I mean, selfishly too. I remember being like upset.
Honestly, I hear you. Erwin was so cool. Every shot of him.
The end of the story, it feels good that his story like ended and like went the way it did. It feels good that we could like look back on him where we're at versus him like physically being there for these moments in a weird way. It feels like better.
Yeah, it's because
I agree.
Kind of the show kind of tells us that, you know, especially Eldians, with I guess with the Titans and everything in their blood and everything, that they just never really die. So it was great getting those shots. Like, it was Erwin, you know, he's the one standing there, he's looking over Hanji, he's looking over Levi at the end, but you know, it's
through the paths, right?
They knew him, they knew they had to give him him, like we needed to see him with our eyes.
He needed to be a part of the ending, man. He needed to.
Yeah, obviously it would have been sweet if he lived till the end, but you see the result and you see all of his efforts get fulfilled and redeemed. You know, he's redeemed. All of it was not for nothing. He sacrificed everything.
Yeah. And so I got a little choked up here too when Armin is kind of like yelling at himself, his like unconscious body in the paths before he realizes he's in the paths. He's calling himself like worthless and pathetic. And I'm getting choked up because this is the point where I'm like, you're really not, Armin. You know, you are such a leader. You are a great guy. We love you. I know you've killed, you know, thousands of people, but. that was just something that really got to me a little bit. Realizes he's in the path and he sees Zeke. At the same time, we get this like very, it's just, I guess, symbolic, you know, the shots of the baby. So the rumbling is coming and, you know, the humanity is backed into a corner of the edge of a cliff where if the rumbling keeps coming, people are going to have to start jumping and, you know, taking their own lives in order to you know, avoid being crushed. Everything kind of goes black and white, but the only thing that we can really, you know, make out in color is the blanket on this baby, which now that I'm thinking about it was also the same color of as Mikasa's scarf, I'm pretty sure. So I'm not sure if that was symbolic. That was probably symbolic in some way. I feel like I can just say things were symbolic and it just makes me sound smart. So
yeah, these scenes were interesting because I guess it had kind of refocused what the rumbling like really was doing. Cause I guess for me, it always felt like Erwin was like leading the charge type of deal. But like, if he was actually leading the charge, then like how were these people at the back of a cliff if they weren't like being run down by Erwin himself at the front? So I guess it was just like recentering the idea that like, it's so spread out.
Correct.
Like that, there's so many fronts to the battle. Like obviously they know they need to stop Erwin to stop everything.
And
else,
it makes like, it ties everything in at the end when they're like 80%, you know, killed 80% of humanity.
So
like
they walked in all directions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what like, something I also forgot kind of like what you're saying, Kyle, too, is I thought it was just, you know, however many of them there were just walking forward in a straight line, but it's, you know, they probably started in a circle like the walls were and they just kind of expanded outwards. Yeah. Just crazy, man. But he's
fucked up.
Just another, you know, fucked up scene. Just like kind of like what the previous episode gave us with everyone like kind of burning alive and things. Just kind of just more.
Dude, it's so fucked up.
Oh my god!
Like I can't believe it actually.
People, like trying like the brief seconds before they get stomped, like trying that to like stop them. Yeah.
Have you like Kyle? If you were wherever you were and you learned about the rumbling. Like, did you actually believe it would get this far? Like, I think if I were you, I would probably have theorized because I didn't really have anybody to piggyback shit off when I was reading because I was just sometimes it would be I would read multiple chapters at a time. Where I'm going with this is like I would have probably theorized, okay, he's going to like try to start it and they're going to stop him before anything bad happens. And then, you know, but actually a lot of bad shit happened. Like the worst happened. It's crazy.
Technically the worst, but also the best case scenario because like the plan, well, I guess not really because the plan works, but it doesn't work. It's hard to say, but
I would say, man,
I guess I always thought of it more of like a, like it gets introduced to us too. Like it gets introduced to us. And then the first kind of idea, concrete idea of it is like more like a defensive thing. So I guess I never.
Right. You were a Jaegerist. Let's not forget.
Yeah, exactly. Like it being like a, we're going to kill 80% of humanity.
You'd be that guy at the end, like marching through fucking paradise with guns and shit.
I'd be fucking hitting that breaststroke over to Marley with the fucking rumbling, bro. I'd be riding on their back in a flameproof suit.
You're maniacal.
I'm just going to get to this right now since we're talking about the 80% and everything. There are people that like legitimately try and break down the math of how many people actually Aaron killed. And I mean, this is such a wide range number, but this person says I estimated between going to be a wide range, but he's like, it's either going to be between 20 million and 50 million people that he murdered.
Well, because lower than I thought people were going to say, I thought people were going to like grossly overestimate.
The world is
like, the population.
Actually surprisingly small. Like, if we were to look up a map of where it is, like, yes, paradise is just a small part of it, but the world itself isn't like, you know, Earth big. I would say
it's not Earth.
It's not okay. It takes place on our planet.
This is just a stupid comment.
It's like a fantasy thing.
Anytime you see like the alphabet in an anime, it's always just like scribbled letters. Mm-hmm. I don't get like, why can't they just have English? Like, I don't get that. But
to make it feel, I guess, unique,
make it feel alien or foreign.
It's like, oh, here's some squiggles that people will be impressed with that we've created. Well, this
didn't language. You think say that's the Greek in you?
No.
Because it's like, where the hell's my alphabet at?
Definitely.
Yeah, bro. Yes.
Yeah.
Didn't they have Hellenization there? I'm just kidding. No, but for real, he did say at the end that he evened it out, right? There were 20, like he killed 80%, and now like whoever's left is
basically the size of what Paradise Island was originally.
Right. So that means that 10 and 10 was like 10% of the population was in the island, and then the remaining 10 equals 20. I don't know. Math like that, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know if he did numbers evening it out. I think he said like they've been brought back to the level of civilization that paradise is at. Like they don't have the technological.
It could also have been that. It could have been both metaphorically and literally.
I took it more of like he made them equal in terms of like their level of civilization and development.
It's true. But we'll keep going. So now we get into chapter 4, which this is going to be the chapter that I'm sure we're going to have the most discussion and questions about. Like, it's just a ride. So we open with the beginning. Before there was anything living or anything at all manner of insignificant matter were just brought into and out of being. Just nothing hung around, essentially. But one thing managed to survive, and that was life. The reason it could survive is because it could multiply. And then in order for it to multiply, it had to keep changing forms and adapting to the point that we see the people as they are now. You know, that's what Zeke and Armin are discussing in the paths right now. And this conversation still kind of a little bit goes over my head. I think just the gist of it, which you can kind of get by the end of their conversation, is that Zeke is basically just saying, why are you trying to stop Aaron? You know, we're all going to die anyway. If anything, death is the ultimate freedom. And Armin counters back by saying it's the small things that you do during your life, essentially, that make life worth living and not just about, you know, multiplying. Zeke was saying how the whole purpose of life is to multiply. Like, that's it. Just procreate, whatever. But, you know, Armin picks out a leaf in the ground, which for Armin is important because it represents the tree that him, Mikasa, and Aaron used to always, you know, hang around, chase on the hill. But as he's holding the leaf, from Zeke's perspective, it's not a leaf. It's a baseball, which we know the significant.
I love that, too.
Which we know is the big thing between him and
the doctor guy, right?
I'm upset with myself that I can't give him the respect that he deserves because, you know, he had such an influence on Zeke.
I don't remember his name.
I forget. Was he
Kravitz?
An honorary?
It's not Kravitz. It's like
it was like Crouch, something like that. Was he? He was an honorary Marlian, right? Like he was Eldian.
Yeah,
he was the Beast Titan.
Yeah, he was like
one of
the Beast Titans. The Beast Titan that's obviously helping them at the end.
Yeah,
like we see Aaron's
dad. He was the
Beast
Titan before Zeke.
Yeah, and then we see the Beast Titan that was. We've never seen it before, so it was kind of like hard to put together, but the Beast Titan that helps him in the end is...
Right, Aaron's dad was the one Attack Titan that came through, right?
Yeah, two skulls,
Yeah, that was pretty badass.
Yeah.
The conversation I felt like was just, like, Zeke has clearly
given up on. Yes.
It feels like
I have absolutely zero sympathy for Zeke right here. I have to be honest.
It feels like it kind of almost transcends nihilism. Like he's not even worried about morals. It's just like literally like
he's like, fuck it.
The basic building blocks of like thought. Like if you break everything down to the most simplest form of like, we are human beings who are alive, who want to replicate. And like, I don't care about that anymore. Which is
he
like
doesn't even deserve.
Yeah, where
he doesn't deserve to think so, like with such a high level of philosophical whatever. He's as part of it. He's as much as a part of it.
I saw online that people weren't very happy with like how easy it was to just like convince him of like, hey, like here's a baseball bro, like let's go save the world, type of deal. Because even before he had like been a character that was like enjoy the little things in life.
Yeah, but the way
for me, I wasn't thinking that way, but.
I thought it was because mainly he was trapped in. He got eaten by the Founding Titan, whatever. And so he has been trapped here for thousands of years, trying to talk to the founder Ymir. And I guess all these conversations or whatever that he's having to try and convince Ymir to stop just led him to getting to the point that he's like, okay, give up.
Yeah.
And I get people's complaints with that. But I think it's cool for Armin because he was always the one saying, like, let's have a discussion. And everyone's like, no, there's no discussion. And he kind of gets the W here with having a discussion. Like, he breaks through to Zeke. Zeke realizes his worth again. And Zeke is now, because he is the one that has the Elder Blood in him, I guess he's able to communicate with other iterations of Titans, like Eren's father, the Beast Titan prior to him, and kind of inspire these people to go against Eren. And so we see in that translating into the real world where now these iterations of Titans are now defending our squad of Mikasa, Reiner, Peak, all of them.
It's definitely worth it for me personally, the visual of like the squad helping us out.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Thought that was a fun way to bring them back.
Even through all that, you know, we were just talking about how Zeke is just saying, oh, death is the ultimate freedom. And just coming fresh off that conversation with Armin, guess who shows himself? It's Zeke. He reveals himself. He just looks at Levi. He's like, yo, bro, come get me if you want me. And it plays into, it works well because, you know, Levi's obvious, like his hatred for Zeke is through the roof, and so he gets to kill Zeke, and then Zeke also gets to feel the satisfaction of death.
But also there was a purpose. First of all, I was fired up when he chopped Zeke's head off. That was awesome.
I love that there wasn't like great. Any like tiptoeing awesome. Around it either. It was just like he reveals himself,
and he's like,
and then just in a flash,
it's like Zeke.
Levi. Yeah, it's just Levi just cutting his head off. It's
so he had to die because he was the royalty. He was what was allowing Eren to have use the founding power to its fullest extent or whatever. He chopped his head off, he died and the rumbling stopped, right?
Correct. The rumbling, I believe itself, like all the colossal Titans below, like they stop, but the iterations of the Titans that are on Eren are still continuing. But I think that's mainly because of Eren's ability to use the Warhammer. Like that doesn't have anything really to do with the founding Titan. Like he can just control them because they're made of the material that he is or whatever, you know?
So. That feels correct to me. And it's simple enough for me to follow. So
That's how I took it. Like I just took it as the founding Titan is what controls the rumbling itself. Like those Titans iterations aren't part of the rumbling. Those are part of Eren. But Levi gets the final blow in on Zeke, fulfills Eren's final mission to him.
Yeah. Is that a rest in piss or a rest in peace?
I'll say it's a rest in piss. I'll say fuck okay. Zeke.
That's fair.
But he was abused and shit too by the dad and Eren.
Like you could say that about literally everyone in the show.
That's the thing. It's like, who is bad? We have no fucking idea.
I just think like his euthanization plan, like that's so like
it's fucked up, but it's still.
Is it better? Like, that's freaking meticulous. Like, at least Eren's just like, I'm going to flatten everybody. Fuck them. You know what I mean? It's I don't know. I was never about
perspective. It's utilitarianism wise. Utilitarianly, I feel like it's probably more compassionate.
Yeah, I know. All I'm saying is I never was on board with the euthanization, and I always thought
it was until we got to this point.
And I just, Zeke was never, he was never like straight up throughout his
intentions
existence
were,
as a character.
To him, his intentions were good. Not that that's any excuse for me to be like, oh, this guy's a good guy, but he genuinely thought what he was doing was good. But I guess there are plenty of villains in all fantasy that, you know, they think they're doing right, but it's just brutally wrong. But yeah, no, I mean, this is just a moral dilemma, this entire thing. Everything that has culminated to is just morally what is right and what's wrong. But to keep us going, Aaron still is not giving up. He gets... What's happened? Oh, so Mikasa's having like just these headaches again of Eren, basically. Is this when Eren like becomes like a colossal looking Titan? I'm kind of my notes, I kind of messed up.
Well,
here, I guess.
First,
like I know the
Gene has to blow up the spine.
Yeah, Gene, that's Gene what blows
okay,
the head
that's
off.
Why I have these notes. Okay, so yeah, Gene is able to detonate the explosion around Eren's neck, and there is a little bit of hesitation, but
yeah,
thankfully it wasn't like Armin or Mikasa maybe holding the detonator. It was Jean, who has been on the advocate side of we got to kill this motherfucker, and he pops that trigger.
It was fitting that it was Jean.
Oh, absolutely,
because they always butt heads.
Yeah,
he had the little hesitation. He fucking insults him, and then he does it.
Yeah, and he gets his suicidal maniac quote in, and then. This is where probably more questions than answers, you know, start to pop up. Eren's head blows off and we see this like long glowing worm that appears out of like the founding Titan's body, which when I first saw it was similar to what we saw when
he got his head shot off
and what reattaches itself to Eren's head was this glowing
thing. I think it's the founding power, right?
Yeah, it's the parasite that gave Ymir her powers too, right?
Right.
Correct. So all the warriors now begin to fight back. We have Reiner, Annie, Peek. It was cool seeing like those three because they were strictly like the Marley side. Like it was just them fighting against the worm, and the worm's obviously, what it's doing here is emitting a gas. And at first everyone's like, why is it doing this? My thought, I kind of forgot where it was going with this too. I thought it was just trying to, you know, provide some cover maybe for Eren to get a little bit closer to the glowing worm. So that was where I was at first. But then I believe it is Armin or someone is the one to recognize what the gas actually is. It's what set
it's
Connie's
Connie
village.
And
that's what it is.
Levi.
Right. Connie kind of recognizes this as the gas that potentially is what caused his home village to become all Titans. It doesn't affect anyone who already has the Titan ability. One of the nine Titan abilities or Ackerman's.
Yeah.
And so the gas is going, and I don't know where your head was at, Kyle. Did you think this was the end of Jean and Connie?
Oh, I thought
because
it was a fantastic death scene where they're like arms are around each
other.
Yeah,
they're boys, right?
Yeah. They just come to terms with everything. They're like, this is literally what it means to be a scout. Like we stood on the shoulders of our friends and now our friends will stand
on
our
shoulders. Hearts, baby.
Yeah, and it just felt very, very fitting. And it was also like, oh my God, like we had just gotten to the Eldians and the Marlians on the plateau being like, you know, you ain't so bad yourself, whatever. And then they fucking turn into Titans. And I was like, oh my God, we just set race relations back 50,000 years again.
I went like 3 months thinking they were fucking dead.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
Like, cause I was reading
ends,
it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, they're done. I actually forgot this like part of the final fight until we watched it. And I was just like, fuck Eren, bro. Like, fuck you, dude.
I agree.
You know, like, you got to do this now for what, bro? Like, you're done. You're going to lose.
You could also argue he saw that they were going to live. And
true.
But, like, it's just still so
at the time.
It's so
at
complicated.
At the time. Right, right, right.
Yeah, at the time.
It's the important part.
But, yeah, the power of friendship, as Alki loves, you know, it prevails here. We get the dream work makes the teamwork makes the team work, which that could also be facts. Yeah. Another fantastic POV shot for Levi here that is very reminiscent of his battle with Kenny Ackerman in the streets of just, you know, him flying through call, and yeah. using the ODM gear, just very smooth. He's they jump off Falco, who is taking back, you know, the Ackermans and other Titans back to the battle. Levi jumps down, basically combination of him, Mikasa using the Thunder Spear to create a whole opening. Armin squaring up 1v1 versus Eren, holding his own pretty well, actually. And they managed to create an opening in Eren's teeth, which allows Mikasa to come in. Eren opens his eyes ever so slightly, but before maybe he even recognizes who it is. Nah, that's not true. Mikasa is the one to cut his head off.
I thought this was just shot beautifully, drawn beautifully, animated beautifully. All the decisions felt like the right decisions. You know, like the relative silence, the slow-mo of, like, you don't really get to see her swing so much. You just see the blade come up from, like, the bottom left of the screen and just, like,
slices his hair and neck.
Yeah, it just, like, it was so perfect. It looked so good.
I, in this fight, like, right as this is all happening, Eren takes a swing. First of all, why was he so big? What was that about?
As the, why was he, like, in, as tall as, like, a colossal titan?
I don't know, just like all of his abilities culminating.
Your guess is as good as mine, brother.
Yeah,
maybe. Whatever. Yeah, final form.
Yeah, that's probably what it was.
Yeah, like, I mean, his final form.
Really what it was.
Anyway, he was swinging and he like hit a freaking like rock formation as he was swinging to punch Eren, and it flung like debris and rocks, and Levi just like fucking maneuvered all through them. That was sick. Mm-hmm. That was fucking sick.
But I guess as Mikasa is like cutting Eren's head off, or like maybe a little bit before, she has this like weird vision. Again, this kind of just reminded me of like the Wheel of Time a little bit, like when Rand is at the Eye of the World, but then is like with Egwene in that like alternate vision. Mm-hmm. But Mikasa is having a dream of a reality where Eren actually does not start the rumbling. I couldn't remember. Was it like they have the war at Marley and then they kind of just say fuck it? Like,
I think it's when they go to
like, is it before or after that? Okay. And then so he's kind of realized that his goal is like a little bit ridiculous, and he's like, maybe we shouldn't kill all these people either way. Him and Mikasa kind of peace off and kind of have their own happiness. And I think this was just a scene. Who knows, maybe it was Eren projecting onto Mikasa what his regret was and what he wishes he could have done. I'm not really sure why they included the scene or how they did.
That was my issue of watching them, was like, how are these happening?
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it can
like,
all
that's
be-
why I'm like a man at the top of this episode of like, I was confused about like the,
it's the past,
it's the past. Dude, that's what
the
I'm
mechanisms. Yeah.
It's just because they're all connect. They're all Eldians. They're all connected to the path. And now Eren is basically the ruler of the paths. He can essentially bring people to these realities where time just doesn't move. He can bend it to his will, is how I took it.
Yes.
What I read is that like she has the headaches because like of like the Ackerman stuff. And she like has the headaches when, like, I guess you could say Nexus points, or like parts of the timeline where like the original timeline splits happen. So like that timeline she's experiencing in that memory is like not the timeline that's like quote unquote supposed to happen, or rather like this timeline that she's on. So she has like the headache, then the memory of like a way that the timeline could have went type of deal. But again, like I'm reading that and people being like, none of this is confirmed. Like this is just a fan theory that like people are headcanoning so that things make sense.
Yeah, but I don't know, because like that would imply that this cycle has happened endlessly, and we know it's not a time loop.
It's
not a time loop.
To Eren, it's a time loop, I guess, because he himself has experienced it.
Exactly. Only to Eren, though, because he's been jumping the timeline, I guess, for lack of a better
explanation. Also, Ymir has, or it was confirmed that like Ymir was waiting for both of them, you know, like maybe...
like exactly
triggered, because they are like the chosen ones almost, and like that's
and,
why
and went. Also, not to jump ahead, but and Mikasa said, you're the one that's been, didn't she literally say, you're the one that's been giving me these headaches all this time?
Yeah, so I think
to Ymir
that I've seen in the past before is that like there's no such thing as like the Ackerman headaches, like really Mikasa's are all just triggered by Ymir, whereas Kenny's were just like I forget what the theory was at the end, but basically like there that like all that is just a lie. It's just like a front that Eren presented to basically get him to separate him and Mikasa farther apart. Like it was, he built up on the idea that, oh, the Ackerman headache is a real thing, but it actually isn't. But again, these are all just fan theories.
Yeah, like so this, she just has like a brain tumor that gives her headaches sporadically.
All we need to know is that this was like the ideal situation that Eren and Mikasa probably both collectively wished now at this point had happened. Like, you know, obviously Eren has his regrets and we see with his conversation with Armin. Let me just actually just take us there, which is actually right here. So in Eren's death.
Well, first that happens. Then she slices him. And then it's like the vision she has of him. Then it's like the other.
No. Flashback. So that all that. Yeah. So all of the Mikasa stuff happens. Head's cut off. Now we get Eren and Armin as kids, but it's not them. Like, it's not a flashback, though. It's them in the paths, just kind of re-walking through life, but with the knowledge of what everything has been going on, essentially. Mm-hmm. So they start as kids, and the first thing that we get is the admittance of Eren saying that he did all this to make the Islanders seem like heroes. This was always his plan, was that he was going to stomp the world, or a majority of the world, in order for them to stop him and make them seem like heroes. And so that's the first part we get here. So Kyle, it looks like you have like a confusing thought or a question.
I'm just like, and I guess jumping ahead too, but like, is that actually even the truth?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, because he also admits too that
I just wanted to flatten him.
Yeah, he also admits that too. I think it was. I mean, why can't it be both? Why can't he just? Why can't his hatred be enough to the point that he actually feels like he wants to flatten everyone, but also at the same time help his boys out? You know,
and like he knows consciously that this is very wrong, and he. But he wants to do it, but he knows he needs to be stopped, and he wants his friends to stop him so that they are saved, essentially.
I legitimately think it's both, and I don't have a problem with it being both, just because like we know Eren, we've seen him be that angsty teen for five seasons now.
Yeah, I mean, you got to remind yourself, he said he wanted to kill
everyone. Like, he wanted to kill everyone. Like, the moment he sees that water at the end of whatever it is, season three, and he's like, everyone out there is an enemy. I want to kill them all. Like that, that kind of emotion doesn't just like disappear, especially when you have future and past happening all at once, when you're just like experiencing hatred like all the time, I guess. Like it's complicated, man. Like, and that's what I said at the beginning. Like, we're not going to have answers. We're just people trying to break this down to make it easier for ourselves, you know, try and validate some things, you know, make it seem better than maybe it really is, but it's confusing. It all is confusing.
I don't necessarily not like these warring ideologies, reasonings inside of Eren. And I think, like, obviously from a storytelling standpoint, it's cleaner if it's one or the other. Mm-hmm. It's just weird. The dialogue itself just is a roller coaster of like, what the fuck is he saying? And like, I get that, like, yeah, reasoning behind that is that like, he's just so mentally broken. And like, that can be the reasoning for sure, but that doesn't make it like enjoyable, or like makes me like feel, and not necessarily, maybe the point isn't to make me feel good, but like, it just feels like, what the fuck?
So I think
type of deal, you know, kind of thing. And yeah, again, like the reasoning can be the reasoning, and the reasoning can be sound, and there's logic involved. But I guess for me personally, it wasn't like a very enjoyable.
I think
so. Why don't you walk through the rest of what he says?
Okay. Yeah. I'll also say too that I think that like Eren leads it off by saying that it was all for them. And then I don't think it's a coincidence. And
I was like surprised in a good way. I was like, oh, wow, like, this is a good ending. Like, why are people upset about this? And then he kept talking and I was like, oh, this is why people are upset about this.
Okay. And then we get them as basically how they were at the beginning of this venture, what, like younger teens. We find out that Eren was the one that sent the fucking Titan to kill his mother. He originally was supposed to eat Bertolt, but that would have obviously messed up the plan. So he had the Titan go chase down his mom, kill the mom.
I remember reading that shit and I was like, what the
dude? That was crazy. Cause that was like one of the most seared in people's minds from like the first episode is like Eren's mom getting eaten like that.
Isn't also that Titan like his dad's wife?
Yeah, it's his dad's first wife. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Which is it just comes full circle. Like Luke is just watching.
That the royal. She's like a royalty, isn't she?
Yeah, she has. I think she is the. Because
that's Zeke's mom too.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yes, it's not. You're right. It's not Aaron's mom. Sorry, it is Zeke's mom.
Because Zeke's mom eats Aaron's mom,
and that's why Zeke has the elder blob, and why Aaron doesn't. Okay. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to them as. Ooh. How they look now with I love Aaron's design as like with the long hair, like the ponytail.
He looks so good. It's the best he's ever looked and sounds. His voice gets so much better. Like the scene where he like in season four part whatever, when he shows up at like the restaurant or whatever and he has his hand cut and he unfortunately tells Mikasa like I never liked you. Like that is like the coolest Aaron ever is.
Yeah, yeah, he's so wearing like cool. The all black cloak.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like the end of that so season badass. Is when he's like when he's like shirtless, he's jacked, and he like throws the cloak on and he has the hair in the pony. It's like, who the fuck's this guy?
This guy is so badass. But
that's why I was like, yeah, I'll be a fucking Jaegerist.
Yep. This it was only for the looks. It was only ever for the looks.
Of course, pure aesthetics.
But this is it. The reveal that while Armin and Aaron are just shooting the shit, Aaron's just like, yo, bro, I've killed 80% of the population, and Armin just and it's kind of visualized here with the amount of blood and bodies that are piled up here, like they are just swimming in a pile of blood and teeth and hair, and
he like pulls out the hair and the teeth. I was like, oh, I remember like that's so grimy. And
this was just he lays it all out to Armin. He just says, look, this I've played out these outcomes however many times, you know, the Doctor Strange thing, he's experienced it so many times, and this has always been the I guess I don't know if he says the only outcome or maybe if it was the best outcome, but regardless, this was always bound to happen. And Armin's a little shocked. And this is kind of where, for me, this kind of goes back into what we were just talking about. So Armin is also talking about, like, why did you do all this? And Aaron is kind of saying that he wanted to flatten them out. But like, I feel like just like, so Armin like punches him at some point. I just feel like this is him. He punches him, and then Aaron kind of lets out what the real truth is, which is he always loved Mikasa. He doesn't want her to date anyone else. He wanted to genuinely flatten all the people. Like it was like, so at first when he was kids, he was just telling Armin basically the face value of everything. Like I did this all for you guys. You know, this was all for you to be, make you guys be the hero. Armin punches him and he's like, okay, if you want the truth, here's the truth. I genuinely wanted to kill everyone and I love Mikasa. Like that's just kind of how I took it a little bit here.
Okay. I mean, because then he's like, I'm an idiot. And like, this is what happens when you give an idiot the power to destroy the world. And I was just like, man, that was the story.
That was that wasn't lesson. A good line. That wasn't a good line. I think it wasn't him saying like, you're giving all this power to an idiot. I just think he was more so saying like,
I think it was just self.
It was like idiotic. And I don't know.
He was just talking shit on himself. He was like everything. The dust has settled and he's like, damn, he's reflecting. He's like, I'm a fucking idiot. Mm-hmm. Right.
I think he was saying he was an idiot because he couldn't make something else like a different, he couldn't make it to the best outcome. Like he's an idiot because he could only get it to the point where he would have to kill 80% of the world is I think how you're supposed to take it, but the way they word it is just really weird because like you're making it sound like this whole story was because you're just an idiot, which
yeah, that's what
I think he's just calling like, himself an idiot sucks. Because he couldn't change anything. Like he's just saying all these outcomes are inevitable and that sucks and I'm an idiot because I can't figure out how to change it.
Yeah, my like basic brain / take is like I just prefer it being like his mastermind plan of like him shouldering all of the
I still think that's what it is,
like the carnage to
when I think on Attack on Titan
them like all of his friends be the heroes even though it's 80% of the world
personally that's
deal.
How I mean
that's
when
the
I
way
think
I'm
on it
take it
I mean when the manga ended and however many years later 3 years later now we're at that's how I take it. I always take it as Aaron just shouldered the burden of all this. He became the most hated person on the planet all because he wanted to save his friends. That's just like, I think for me, that's how the moral of the story goes. And if you leave it at that face value, I think it's a great ending personally.
I really don't think it's where we need to dissect why he called himself an idiot. I think he's just saying like, I don't know. I don't know how to articulate it in such a simple. I think it's just a statement.
I just think he's saying he's an idiot because he couldn't change anything.
Yeah.
Like he just
he's just like change it.
But so Armin, in a final act of compassion, also shares the burden with Aaron, because Aaron is saying that he is the one that killed 80% of the population. But Armin's like, look, bro, I am just as bad as you. I partook in all of this as well. It's not just you. If there is a hell, I'll see you there. Which there probably is a hell. Like, you know, if this were to be like the Alice in Borderland ending, like if we're going to go to season, if an extra season, if we were to go there, like I think there would be a hell. I think both of them would be there, and I think they would both live out the rest of their days in hell, but happy because they're both there personally.
Now, I guess to skip ahead slightly, just to bring up a discussion point, they can die now because there's no paths.
Correct.
Okay.
And so this was another great twist, I thought personally. And so they're embracing one last time, and Aaron whispers to him, he's like, I'm just going to make you forget all of this. You're not going to remember any of it. And they flash, and it's actually it was the scene from last episode where Armin was on the ship. So this conversation had already happened, which I thought was just fantastic, because I kind of made like a hint to it in the last episode. I was like, oh, Kyle, like this is important. Like, you know, I wanted to go out of my way to bring up that Armin, for whatever reason, sees Aaron in a flash. He like has that. It's just like he's on the ship, and then it's just Aaron flash. Oh, shit, I'm back on the ship. You know, like we don't know what actually happened there. So it was just really cool. And it turns out that not only was Armin the only one having a conversation, but he was having conversations with pretty much all of the OG squad, including Annie too. Yeah. All at the same time, which I thought it was so good. I thought it was personally really cool.
I liked it too.
It was a great twist.
Yeah. Which I think serves to the argument that it was for them, not just there's levels to it. You know, I think he did want to kill everybody, but he wanted to do it for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Know?
It's a fucked up love, but it is love at the end of the day.
What's love got to do with it?
And I think, do we get the OG Attack on Titan song here?
Yes.
We get like another iconic Attack on Titan song here, because it's obviously the wrap up of everything.
That one? That one?
No, nani.
Isn't that Naruto?
That's Naruto, right? You don't even know, you fucking fraud, bro.
We're gonna wrap
those
up.
Those are the sounds I was hearing at Attack on Titan, so I'm gonna say it's Attack on Titan.
These are the final scenes here we get. Levi sees the homies. I'm always gonna bring up the Levi scenes. Like, we could easily skip over them, but I'm just always gonna bring them up. Ooh. Levi sees all the homies. He sees Hanji, Erwin, Hannes, just everybody, and it's great, man. Like him crying, he says he kind of understands now why everyone decided to give their hearts in the first place, because he never really understood it. He was just a lapdog back in the day, I guess, and now he really truly understands it all. And is this his first time shedding a tear this entire series? It probably is. He's lost a leg.
Imagine.
He's been blown up, never shed a tear, and he gets what his moment here with the squad. But yeah, everything kind of wraps up here. Yeah, we get all the parents and children reunited. Now that Aaron is killed, obviously the Titan powers are no longer in existence. Everyone that had transformed into Titans earlier, normal Titans, is now back to normal. So that includes Jean, Connie, the parents. So I guess my question to you, Kyle, is how do you feel about getting a fake out death here? If you want to call it that, I don't think it's like, it's not like a fake out. Like, yes, they had like a beautiful moment, but like, maybe I don't think of it as a fake out because I kind of knew this was happening.
I'm on the fence about it.
I mean, enough people died, dude.
Yeah.
Like, enough people died.
But also,
we need random people. Like, Hanji died, you know, Erwin died before him.
But like, in the final altercation, no one died.
Yeah, I know you were looking.
Zeke died.
I know you were hoping. Yeah. Not hoping. Yeah. Sorry, that's a fucked up way of looking at it. But I know we were kind of like thinking that Reiner was going to die.
Feels weird.
Yeah, I think I was. I'm not going to lie. I think that's just one of the things
it really
I also
feels like he being the author was probably like, okay, I've made enough people die.
Mm-hmm. Like Sasha, we saw. Oh yeah, we saw Sasha yeah. and. Fuck, I'm so sorry. There's two of them. It was two of them die, right? Because it's Jean and Connie see. Oh no, it's just Sasha.
They just sorry. See Sasha.
They see Sasha. Yeah. Maybe I'm thinking of someone else who sees two. But regardless,
I think. What's his face? Oh no, Levi sees like the whole scouting
squad. Yeah, squad.
Mikasa, obvious. Mikasa. Yeah, you're right.
That happened.
Mikasa, obviously, this is the conversation that Mikasa has with Ymir, basically saying, honestly, I don't even know what she was basically saying. I think it was just like, you chose me and I fulfilled your goal. Sleep, rest easy is how I took it almost.
So yeah. I want to ask something in our coverage of the season four, I guess, when the Paz first got introduced, we first saw Ymir's backstory. We did theorize, or like at least Kyle, you did. There was definitely some kind of love there between King Fritz and Ymir. Like it was visible.
It's just again, it's,
don't you think? Or was I like an ass theorizing it?
And putting in your words in your mouth.
But no, was I like an ass saying it subconsciously knowing to be true? I hope not.
I don't know, to be honest. I didn't go back and
it didn't resonate for you, so
all of our coverage. So I don't remember exactly what I said and why I said it.
I thought it was nice seeing Ymir as like a adult, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, the interesting thing that I read, because again, I didn't know what was going on when it was like, you know, it's like Mikasa was the key. Because like the only thing I think we've seen from her obviously is the Ackerman stuff and the headaches, but apparently the headaches maybe aren't anything, but they also never told us they were nothing. And I just read online that someone was like, because Ymir like was in love with Fritz and like followed all of it and like kind of like his quote unquote orders for thousands of years after he died, even though he treated her like shit, like Mikasa was the one that had to break the cycle because like she had lived almost the same experience where like she had loved Aaron treated her like shit. So like she needed to see someone overcome that and kind of quote unquote disobey the person.
It's exactly what I was going to say as well. I think it was more so exactly what you said that,
Which works for me. But again, like when I'm reading this on the internet and people are saying like, this is not confirmed in any way. This is just what like fans had.
I think that one is more so to me kind of almost confirmed. I know like the author never like authors never like just come and have like a sit down QA like, OK, ask me your questions. And like,
there's it down. A lot of things in this finale that kind of fall into that bucket of like.
But this one for me feels like
given some things going on. So like we're going to just take it the final lap.
And I think this, it's this way.
One, yeah, this one makes sense to me that Ymir was just looking for the one that like she wanted to see someone again, just break the cycle. Like she was sick of seeing people, you know, love people and still just, I guess, succumb to them and just not be quote unquote free. Like Mikasa is just, she's not free because she's chained down to this terrible person. But now when she kills him, Ymir kind of can like rest easy. It's just, it's confusing.
Until she doesn't kind of sort of maybe.
And then we can also talk about the headless kiss.
Oh my god!
If you want to, Kyle?
Wild,
fucking nuts!
Wild.
Was the thing.
Imagine me drawing that and being like, "Yeah, this is it."
In Special One, I mean, this is the beginning of Special One. Is that scene is her going to sleeping Aaron, like holding his head, saying like, "I'll take care of you," and that's what I said on the podcast. I was like, "Me and Alki know what that means," but like, Kyle, it means nothing to you. But we knew that it was symbolizing the coming of her kissing the headless.
She's
Aaron.
Like a cephalophiliac or something. Yeah. That's got to be
wild shit. Necrophiliac.
But I mean, that's the only
time
like
she's going to get her kiss, though. It's not like she was going to just bust in there, make out with him, and then take his head. You know, it's got to be, it has to be at the very end. Like, she wanted to get the kiss in. And,
clearly, she wanted it.
But that will put a wrap, I guess, for the most part, unless you have any comments on, like, the emotions of, like, the parents. I guess we can talk about that a little bit. Like, it was honestly, like, as much as we hated, like, Annie's father for a very long time, Reiner's mother for a very long time, it was very sweet. Seeing her in the very end say, I don't care that you're not the armored titan anymore. And that for Reiner was like anything that's good for Reiner. For me is just, yeah, I love it for him because he, again, has, I mean, they've all, it's hard to, it's you're comparing apples to oranges here, like with who's more fucked up in the head. But like Reiner's definitely had a rough life. And so it was great getting that closure with his mom, who, you know, always wanted him to be the Armored Titan. And he was never supposed to be the Armored Titan, like, you know, and he only wanted to become the Armored Titan for her. And now she's saying she doesn't want it. This is great. Wins all around for our guys, for the most part.
I like the comedy beats in the background. Maybe not even comedy, but I just liked, like, you could see, like, Jean and Connie seeing Sasha, and then, like, Falco and Gabby having their moment. Then, like, when Reiner and her mom, and his mom, rather, have their moment, like, you see Falco tackle Gabby in the background of that, and there's, like, a cloud of smoke that gets kicked up from it. So I just thought that was funny that, like, the background was alive in the scenes, even though we're supposed to be focusing on, like, the emotion.
I actually didn't even notice that, dude, so thank you.
Yeah.
I had a serious issue with the fucking Marlians pointing guns at the Eldians at the end. Like, come on, bro.
Yeah. It was just like, oh my gosh. Well, I mean, they literally just watch all of them turn into Titans.
Thankfully, everything got diffused. We do see the Marlians treating the Eldians that were hurt. Really not
after
much
left. After fucking Armin.
Yeah.
Armin steps up. It's like, I'm the one that killed fucking Eren Jaeger. Oh, yeah. Got the rumbling. You know, if we could still use our powers, like, we would obviously be using them right now. So.
Yeah, and that's a valid point, enough for them to lower their guard. And
is this where he mentions? Oh no, never mind. It's on the boat when they're.
Yeah, we're just going right into it. So, however many days, months go by.
It's 3 years.
Oh my god, I don't know if I caught that. They obviously do look like way older. Like John's hair is like way grown out and everything. But anyway, they're heading back to Paradise Island. We're getting a little political here. They are heading back to be the advocates of peace between the Marlians and, I guess, the Paradise, or I guess outside world and Paradise Island. Everyone on Paradise Island was pro Eren last we saw them, which
they're all Jaegerists.
They're like, yeah, fuck everyone outside of Paradise. So this is just a conversation that they're having about how are we going to convince Paradise Island that, like we shouldn't hate these people, you know? And, it's just getting broken down. I mean, Armin just really maturing. The 3 years definitely did him justice. He's basically Erwin 2.0. It feels like now he's just calm, cool, collected, just saying.
I wish there was a scout regiment so he could like
actually
be the leader.
Yeah,
but I guess, you know,
it's like Krista or whatever.
I have a question. Krista?
No, I was just gonna say, because at the end, like, she's giving that monologue. And like she's wearing like
Historia.
Historia. She's wearing like the new scout regiment jacket. And
yeah, that was interesting.
Why is she she's leader? Because she's royalty, number one.
Like, that will appeal the people outside, because yes, she's like, she's of royal blood, whatever. So I think that appeals to the outside, but it also appeals to the people inside because she's homegrown from Paradise Island. Like,
wouldn't it appeal that she's royal to the inside, or no, because they hated the royalties, right?
They hated the royalties, yeah. But it's like, because they know her as Krista.
Oh,
like,
right. Because wasn't the original king was the one who closed the walls? Well, he was the one that locked them all in there, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Like, that was like for their good, though.
For everybody's own good.
Yeah, but like obviously they don't see it that way, which
I thought it was interesting. Why do you guys think she fell into that role, like for self-preservation or because like she had to?
I think she's
unless I'm missing something, because it's been years, I feel like her character doesn't make any sense to me.
It is hard. I think it's the year gaps.
I have to be honest.
It was like the centerpiece of season 3. Like she was the reason for everything.
And then she gets pregnant so that she doesn't have to eat Zeke.
Mm-hmm.
There were some issues that I had too. It's just like her randomly popping up with dialogue throughout these last two episodes in points where I'm just like, where does this fit in?
It's just like,
and like her talking about Eren in a way that I don't know. Like,
she was a full blown Jaegerist. It seemed like she was like, I mean, like, he gave us the option and like, we're going to fight so that we don't have to fight anymore. But it was kind of like, no one else wants to fucking fight.
I'm going to be honest. I didn't understand that monologue at all. Like,
that's it.
Just talking, I wasn't even really listening. I'm like, just
the futile. I mean, it kind of, I guess, speaks to what Armin was saying to Eren when Eren's like, I did this, that like no one would fight basically. And Armin's like, the only thing people are going to learn from this is that it's either fight or die type of deal. So like, maybe that's the realization of that kind of happening.
I'm gonna be honest, I was just kind of more so looking at like just the time going by, that like we have a new regimen, like it has the, it's the symbol of the guns now. Like I don't really, yeah.
I don't know really the girl. We know the yawning girl, right?
Yawning girl.
What? I don't know. Remember, like the at the podium, like they're cheering the Jaegerist and the girl that's yawning. Wasn't that the military police chick?
If you're referring to that tweet that was like, she's survived like the whole series of Attack on Titan. Yeah,
just short hair.
She has glasses. Yeah, no. She has short hair. If you're thinking the blonde girl. Because there's I saw a tweet basically that there was like one of the like generals like from like season one, like gets called out here, like makes an appearance, and like she made it the entire way through, like one of the few to make it all the way through.
Funny, actually,
yeah,
I liked, you know, speaking of funny too, I love Reiner being like, oh, I just love Historia's handwriting, and then he just smells the paper.
What a fucking weirdo. And what Jean's just like, it's fucking creepy when you lust over a married woman.
Yeah. And then Pete comments about his hair and he's like, well, you know, it's for all the girls reading the history books just so they fucking know.
He's the man. That was a great, I love that quote. It's like he's just like, ah, yeah, like we just saved the world and my life sucks, but I want to look good for all these people. Yeah, that girl. Yeah. That's who I'm talking about. Okay. But let's get to the final post-credit everything here. So we flash forward again a little bit. Eren obviously got the quote unquote proper burial. I don't know if he deserves proper burial after murdering 80% of the population, but for them, he deserved a proper burial. They bury him at the tree that is, you know, connected to all of them.
Their tree.
And Mikasa visits and just, you know, just saying how much she misses Eren. And
I could see you one last time.
Yep, a bird, ironic, more symbolic, comes down, wraps the scarf even tighter around her neck to provide comfort, and flies off. And Mikasa knows that Eren's kind of still watching her. So a little cheesy, that's but
so funny is that I thought it was the opposite. I thought the bird like loosened it so that she would like.
Oh, I rewatched it twice because like, I had it written that the bird was trying to steal it. But yeah. If you look back, like it was loosely hanging. The bird comes, like looks like it's stealing it, but then it's like more tight around her neck.
Very interesting.
But not the end of our story. So we get in the credits. As the credits are rolling, we kind of just get, it's not even like scenes. They're just like images that are just fast forwarding. So years go by. There's people that visit Eren's gravesite, and it was the same way in the manga. So
that his gravesite?
Yes, that was his gravesite. So we're not meant to see really the faces of who is visiting him, but there is enough evidence that you can make the conclusion that Jean and Mikasa got married, had kids.
Yeah, people think this.
That was because the giveaway is like, you can't really see who it is because it's such a small screen. And it's
but
just
he
like
had
two
gray
people.
Hair.
He had like the hair was like similar. He was wearing like the fedora. Mikasa, I think, like you could kind of maybe see the scarf. So it's not like
very interesting,
but it's just supposed to say like, okay, Mikasa and Jean, they get married, have kids. Years go by. We see Mikasa is actually now dead. Her funeral has occurred. Years go by again, and civilization is rising. Paradise Island is no longer just like this like flat land. It's actually now become a city. Fast forward again. The cycle continues. War has broken out. Paradise Island is essentially nuked. We see a little boy walking to the tree that Ymir was walking to, which I think is also now coincidentally Eren's gravesite. So this little kid in the future walks to the tree that Eren is buried at, and we are led to believe that that kid is going to stumble into life, what Ymir stumbled into. Then the cycle of hatred is going to continue. And so the big complaint that everyone has is this whole story is about hatred and ending the cycle of war and hatred. Why the fuck are we, why are you going to give us the post-credit scene of it just going back to square one? And my counter argument is this isn't a story of love, happiness. This is just a tragedy. Like the story is a fucked up story of society, and Paradise Island is nuked. We don't know how many years later it is, but it's, obviously well beyond Mikasa's years.
I have to say, I think that they didn't do this this montage justice. It deserved
really.
Like,
I thought it was.
I thought
it was exactly how it was done in the manga.
Yeah,
so you
much.
Wanted more, is what you're saying?
It should have been full screen fucking montage, not post credit roll. Like, because this came out after the chapter ended.
I'm literally looking at it right now, and I didn't even pay attention to these little screenshots,
dude. I'm saying,
yeah,
exactly. This actually came out like after chapter 139 is the final chapter, which is so annoying. Like months you can't just do like 140, but anyway,
yeah, it was like months after.
Yeah, months after a period of time after 139 ended, this got released. It was this screen credit. What you saw in the screen credits was what got released. It was like 10 pages of images, and you know, I'm looking at it now. It was
literally like,
I see the fedora and the,
yeah, like you're supposed to, yeah, like they don't ever
do it. It kind of looks like looks even more like Gene in the manga.
Because it's closer.
People in the comments say, people in the comments like, oh, it's Gene.
I see
Gene.
A car.
You see like the,
they have kids. Like they eventually,
1890s England looking like, or whatever, 1920s. And then you see the bombs and the skyscrapers, and then you see the kid go in. And I liked in the actual montage, in the credits, the kid looked like he had Eren's scarf on. Did you notice that?
Yeah, that's the other thing, is that apparently this might have been a descendant of Eren as well. And
even like his gear, it looks like he's wearing 3D maneuver gear. Like
it would be a Mikasa descendant. Yeah. But yeah.
Anyway, I don't have a problem with it because it's like humans are.
We're terrible.
Always like trying to kill each other. And I guess the message is just like, he did solve things for a period of time, but even before this kid may or may not stumble across the founding Titan's power, like humanity already nuked each other hundreds of years after Eren ended what he ended. So that happened. It had nothing to do with Eren. You know what I mean? It's
just new hate is going to breed new hate.
A high level of thinking.
Like things are going to be a utopia for a little bit, but like people are just never going to see eye to eye. That's just how it is. And so I'm just curious, now that you, Kyle, have seen these credits now, like, what do you think? Was the whole story a waste of time? Because again, like the big argument people make online is like, this whole thing was meant to stop the cycle of hate, but in the last 5 seconds, the cycle of hate starts over again. It's like, so what was the point of the show? But that was,
you don't know what this kid's going to do with it either.
Yeah. And like, yeah.
I mean, is that the assumption, is that he finds that the worm parasite?
It's the assumption. So he just walks into the tree. That's it. Like he just walks into the tree. That is exactly the shot that Ymir walked into. But we don't see the thing again. Like it's just him literally like walking into it. That's it. That's it.
Yeah, this is funny because I remember being a bit confused. I thought this was like not as long after as those credit scenes made it seem, because like there was, like it looks like they have, there's like the Titan.
I think
it
must have been like hundreds of years.
I think it's 200 years at least.
Yeah. But I thought like I saw the rumbling like footsteps is what I saw. I thought I saw and like the puddles are like filling in like the huge footsteps.
That happened in the 3 years later montage.
Okay, there you go. That's why I was all, because I guess I'd skipped the whole in between montage. So I thought this was happening at a similar time. That's so funny. Because I was like, oh, it'd be so interesting to get like more story like in the world, like a generation after, where like the names like Armin and them are like
revered,
historical, yeah, like hallowed names. Like you too haven't read the Mistborn series, but like Mistborn does that, where like you read the first three books and then like characters from the next series, the next trilogy is like, you know, 400 years in the future, and like those names,
so cool.
Like the main characters from the first trilogy are like historical names that like get brought up every now and again. So
that's
like, oh,
pretty
cool
freaking
idea.
Cool.
But now knowing it's way more time and they get nuked and stuff, is, I don't even know how to take that. I don't know what the point of of that is, to be quite honest, is my like initial gut reaction. I almost wish I didn't know that.
That's again one of those things you might just have to think on and you might flip, but yeah, I just think it's just, this is not a happy story. It's never been a happy story. It's always been a depressing, fucked up story, and that's what the ending leaves us with. All right,
I'm gonna say I'm anti that, because I guess that gets too deep into the idea that like human nature is
unchangeable.
Yeah, supposed to be negative and bad.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll let you sit on it. Maybe. That. So Luke is currently, I believe, on season three. So who knows? This is kind of like our outro, but of course we're going to talk about our favorite characters and other things too. But Luke is currently on season three. Who knows, with him finishing it and maybe after Kyle sits on a little bit more, we'll have maybe one more discussion on
we
this.
We always say this. We never do.
Never do it. But this might be worth doing, especially if Luke enjoys setting. It. Yeah, we'll see. Because he has been like binging it. He's been like really enjoying it, it seems like. So potentially be on the lookout for that. I know the YouTube video for the first one actually popped off a lot. So if we get enough views and comments and things, we'll definitely give us more motivation to do something like that in the future. But to wrap it up, if we want to go ahead, before we actually talk final characters, is any final thoughts on just the series, final episode as a whole in general?
I guess it's just kind of what a journey. You know, a lot of interesting storytelling devices that I didn't envision this this series getting into when we started it back in high school. You know, with like the first episode, I'd never imagined this like non-linear storytelling and all of that kind of stuff. I could have never imagined where we ended. So
that's exactly what I tell people.
Is a success. I think it's a worthwhile journey to take, and you're obviously free to interpret the ending as you will. I enjoyed watching this final episode, this final movie, this final chapter. I enjoyed a lot of the characters. Do I agree with a lot of the things that were done? Probably not. Was it incredibly satisfying? Maybe not, but I am glad that, like, you know, that I went on the journey and that we did this. So that in itself, I think, is a win.
You saw the end of Alice in Borderland. I'm just curious on what, like, where you would stand, like, on, because I know you were kind of the same way on the Alice in Borderland ending. Like, you weren't like leaping over with joy. Okay. Because I know you weren't like disappointed with the Alice in Borderland ending, but it just wasn't maybe like hadn't met expectations. And it kind of felt like the vibes were maybe similar.
I think this is a better ending because it was a better story and a better journey.
Yeah. Agreed.
So, where do you rank this anime?
Jesus. What a loaded
like, does
question.
The ending take away? Does it put it lower for you? Because I would say no for me personally.
It doesn't put it like crazy lower. I think it's just very interesting and thought-provoking for sure. And it's fun to talk about. So
I just did some quick reading. And in the end conversation that Eren has with Armin, initially in the manga, like Armin, and we didn't talk about this. I wish we talked about it more, but he like thanks Eren for turning himself into a mass murderer for our sake. I won't let this transgression go to waste. And people were really pissed. And actually the author changed it so the dialogue in the anime is more like, you know, like, why the fuck did you do this? Like 80%, are you kidding me? Like, I'll see you in hell. Like that, like, because the manga painted Eren as a martyr, and that was not apparently his message. He didn't want him to be painted as a martyr. He wanted him to he wanted the audience to feel like he deserved, you know, a fate of shittiness. So I mean, that's take with that as you will, whatever the saying is, because I'm bad at sayings.
But I have a real, like, I'm thinking about this now, like, we're doing top five favorite characters. I just have a feeling three at least of these characters are going to be similar between all of us. So I'll start, because I actually have a list, and if you guys don't, then this will give you a little bit of time. No, you know what? We are going to go particular order. We're going to go Levi, always number one. I'm going to go number two. This is where things get a little tough. I'm still going to give it to Erwin, because Erwin's just the GOAT. Number three, we're giving it to Hanji, man. I she rose the ranks really this time around. So I'm going to give it to Hanji. Four, we'll give it to Armin. Five, Jean over Connie, unfortunately. Like, it's close between those two, but I'm gonna give it to Jean, I think. Yeah, so I don't know if either of you two need a second, or if one of you has your answers, if you want to go.
I don't know if I have mine, but I can work it out as I go, probably. Mm-hmm. So number one's obviously Commander Erwin.
Mm-hmm.
Legend, that'll never change. Number two, I think we're gonna say Reiner.
Oh, that I knew I was missing someone. Okay. Yeah, I knew I was missing someone.
Reiner's going to be two for me. Number three.
I'll take out John and put in Reiner. That's tough.
Three.
Fuck Reiner.
We'll go Levi from a pure like enjoyment of like his scenes perspective. Mm-hmm. Four, we'll go Armin. No, four, we'll go Aaron. Mm-hmm. Actually, three, we'll go Aaron. Four, we'll go Levi. And five, we'll go... Oh, man. This is John, Connie, and Armin is
Hanji.
Tough.
You haven't said Hanji either.
Yeah, I don't think she...
Okay. I'm just throwing out some names. Yeah,
I was a big Sasha fan, but not like enough. I feel like to throw her in top five. So we'll just say Jean.
If she was around a little bit longer, we'll it could have. I feel like Sasha could have been a good answer had she been around a little bit longer.
We'll say Armin. Armin's five, and then honorable mention is going to be Onyan Capone.
All right, number one for me, Flock. No, dude, it's fucking, it's Erwin, it's Hanji, it's Levi, it's Armin and Aaron. That's top five, man.
It's so tough. I feel like there's all...
That's
all
no order, but that's top five.
Like it's...
Ah, coward, no order.
All right, fine. Erwin, number one. Honestly, Hanji, number two.
Okay.
Levi.
You're just laughing at me for putting her at three.
No, I was laughing at you because it's literally those three. Those are mine. I'm like thinking this whole time, like those are like got to be my top three.
Yeah, they have to be.
But... What did I just say? Hanji at two, Levi at three. I think honestly, Aaron's four, and then Armin. Like Aaron is the plot. He's the plot driver. You know,
yeah, I don't endorse his actions, but yeah.
Yeah,
I think you.
And then like I want to tie like Gene, Connie, all the rest, like directly under them.
The one thing for Aaron is just like, I think I mentioned this last year, Kyle, was that like he at the time for Crunchyroll was being nominated for best protagonist and antagonist. Like you just never see that though. That's like what makes Aaron's character like really unique and cool is that like, it's just so hard to find a character that is both a protagonist and an antagonist.
Eren Yeager.
Yeah.
I think that we didn't get enough Connie this episode, let's be honest here.
Oh yeah. I mean, because John had his moments. He was the one that detonated it. He's getting married to Mikasa. Connie just kind of like rides
had to get saved, basically.
Yeah, it kind of
we could have even had like a shot of him with his mom, you know? Like we could have even gotten just that.
We could have had a shot of him fucking up some motherfucking Titans, but like I don't feel like he was
like unconscious.
Like he was just like in the background.
He was hanging.
He was literally just hanging there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alrighty, any final thoughts now?
No, it's just crazy that I now exist in a world where I know the ending to Attack on Titan.
Welcome, brother.
Welcome, man.
2021, April 2021 is when the final chapter came out, which is crazy.
It's just nice to be able to consume some content now.
2.5 years, man. All right, that will be it for today's and all day's coverage potentially of Attack on Titan. Hopefully we can do one more. We'll see if this garners enough likes and comments. We'll see
you
where that goes,
but
we still got Jujutsu Kaisen going. I'm blanking on so many things. We're covering we just finished covering Gen V. We are currently covering Invincible, Fall of the House of Usher. It's I know spooky season's over, but everyone should still go check out that show. Blanking on everything else that we're doing in this upcoming schedule.
You said
Kyle?
Invincible.
I said Invincible.
Beacon 23.
Beacon 23. That was the one. Yeah. That's the one. Very much looking forward to covering that show.
Murder at the End of the World.
Yes. There we go.
That looks like going to be a good one.
And
Percy Jackson and the Olympians.
And now that Gen V wrap, we got the official announcement that The Boys will be coming out season 4 in 2024. You best believe we'll be covering that. But
did you see that tweet? You guys saw the tweet because you tweeted it, but. You retweeted it about
Homelander,
about how like Butcher knows about the virus, all that shit. It's pretty cool.
All right, if you like what you heard, give Bingetown TV, Bingetown TV, a follow on all socials at Bingetown TV, the works. You know where all those places are at. Be sure to join our growing Discord. You know we love chatting with you guys. Definitely join that. And please join it for this specific one too, because we have so much confusion, so much that we obviously don't understand. And if you guys want to help us break down the ending as well, you know, put your thoughts there. Definitely also in the YouTube comments as well. We would love to go through chat with you guys about that. So lastly, for all of our podcast episodes, coverages, interviews, yada, 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 go check out our catalog on BingetownTV.com. And if I didn't say it enough, once again, we are Bingetown TV. And thanks for listening. Shinzo Sasageyo.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.